Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture reading is from the book of John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Before we listen to God's word, I invite you to bow your heads as we pray together and ask God to open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears this morning. Lord our God, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you that you still speak to us through your Spirit, the Spirit of truth. May your Spirit indeed open our hearts and enable us to hear your voice this morning, to hear your message for us. May your words speak to us. May we listen. May we all be blessed because of your word. That is our prayer, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So an egg has three parts, the shell, the white, and of course the yolk, but it's one egg, right? Water has three forms, liquid, ice, and vapor, but it's one substance. A woman can be a wife, a mother, and an employer, but she's still one woman. So today is Trinity Sunday on the church calendar, and those are all illustrations that attempt to explain the Trinity. But none of them quite managed to do so, though, which is no surprise, because the Trinity really remains a mystery. The doctrine of the Trinity says that God is one being who exists in three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not three gods, but one God in three persons. And I mean, this is a difficult concept to grasp. It's also a concept that separates us from our religious cousins, the Jews and the Muslims. Now, although the word Trinity is never mentioned directly in the Bible, Jesus hints at it in the Gospel of John. And he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And then he says in verse 15, all that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So clearly there's a deep relationship between Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. But here's what's important. In the face of such a divine mystery, it is good practice for us to have humility, especially intellectual humility. The idea of intellectual humility has been around for centuries. Philosophers deem it a virtue to be aware of. We need to acknowledge our limitations because no one knows everything. The problem is, it's hard to be humble. You see, intellectual humility is a virtue, but it's not widely practiced. The reason is that we don't like to acknowledge our limitations. We think we are correct. Whether we're speaking about politics or family dynamics or how to load the dishwasher, By the way, you know, it's been said that in every household, there is a person who stacks the dishwasher like a Scandinavian architect, and a person who loads the dishwasher like a raccoon on drugs. And you know who you are, right? How many architects among us? How many raccoons? Yeah. Well, in any case, we tend to think that we are right. We figure that the way we do something must be the best way to do it. And this causes problems for us in our homes, in churches, in our communities. But no one knows everything, okay? The complexity of life, like the complexity of the Trinity, demands that we practice some humility. And it's not easy. Intellectual humility is hard because we want to be right and we think we're right. And the truth, however, is that the world would be a better place if we all practiced just a little humility. And what's interesting is that over the past decade or so, psychologists have been suggesting that humility might be an antidote to rising polarization in the United States. Humility. Which, of course, is an issue much more important than loading the dishwasher. So today, I mean, how can God, the Trinity, help us become more humble? For starters, the Trinity suggests that the search for truth is a process. It says, Jesus says, I have much more to say to you, but right now it would be more than you could understand. The Spirit shows what is true and will come and guide you into the full truth. So Jesus is speaking to his followers on the night before his own death, and he's trying to prepare them for the future. But he does not perform an enormous data dump on them. He does not tell them how to think and act and feel in every possible situation. No, he knows that they cannot absorb everything all at once. They can't handle it. And so he says that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. So the search for truth is a process. There's a novel called The War Bug, and in it a Methodist pastor named Harley Camden sits down and is having coffee with a church member named Andy Stackhouse. And Andy's upset about changes in the church. And so he says to Harley, I'm just concerned, you know, that our church, and even more so our denomination, is getting away from the Bible. And Harley, you know, sips his coffee and wonders how to respond to that. And then he has an inspiration and he says, Andy, I know that you're a Civil War buff, right? Absolutely. And so Harley says, I want you to think back to the 1860s. 160 years ago, Southern preachers took the Bible literally in this case and they defended slavery. They asked, who could question the word of God when it said, slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling? And that's from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And Andy says, yes, I guess that made sense to them at the time. And Harley goes on and he says, and in Paul's letter to Titus, tell slaves to be submissive to their masters and to give satisfaction in every respect. You don't believe that, do you? And Annie says, no, I don't, of course not. And Harley then explains to him, the Christians who wanted to preserve slavery had the literal words of the Bible to back them up. That all of the clearest scripture verses, the Bible said for slaves to be submissive. But the Holy Spirit came along and guided us into the truth. Because you see, the search for truth is a process, one that is still going on. And the theological term for that is progressive revelation. We should never become too certain about our correctness. And the Trinity reminds us of the importance of humility, because the search for truth is an ongoing process, and it's not a swift and hasty process either. Another way in which the Trinity illustrates humility is by being a community. Yes, it's true that God is one God. He's the almighty creator of all that exists. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent. God is eternal. God is infinite. God is unchangeable. God's outside of space. He's outside of time and matter. As the praise song says, our God is an awesome God. But at the same time, God is in an intimate relationship with God's own self as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus reveals to us that there's ongoing communication between the three persons of the Trinity. And he says that the Spirit will not speak on its own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So within the community of the Trinity, there is constant communication between the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son, also known as the Word. The first letter of John says there are three that testify in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. So what this is, it's a model for us. We need to listen to each other. We need to learn from each other. And we need to do this within the communities of our families, of our friends, our congregations, our neighborhoods. When we actually talk with one another and have dialogue, well, we learn that, you know, none of us is right all the time. We discover that we have much to learn from each other. We realize that we need to learn from each other. James, the brother of Jesus, offers some important guidance for communication. And he says, remember this, my dear friends. Everyone must be quick to listen, but slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Human anger does not achieve God's righteous purpose. And so this is the kind of quality communication that is constantly being offered among the three persons of the Trinity. And we are in community, and we need to listen and learn from one another. And finally, God, the Trinity, helps us to become humbler by showing love and generosity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit want nothing but the best for each other. And the Trinity want nothing but the best for each of us. And Jesus reveals this when he says that the Spirit will bring glory to me by taking my message and telling it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I've said that the Spirit takes my message and tells it to you. So there's no competition within the Trinity. There's a desire instead to support each other. There's a longing to glorify each other. There's an aspiration to share the gifts that each possesses. And in the end, they work together for our benefit, gathering all of God's truth and declaring it to us. And, you know, the Apostle Paul illustrates the selfless work of the Trinity so well when he offers this blessing, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It's what I say to you at the end of each of our worship services. So when we receive such love and such generosity from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, how can we feel anything but humble gratitude? And listen, each one of us is a work in process, okay, in progress. As a community that follows the example of God, the Trinity, we need to help each other. Because together we can receive the Spirit that Jesus sent. And the Spirit can lead us into a deeper understanding of the truth. We don't have to be right all the time. Instead, we can live as disciples who show curiosity, who show open-mindedness. Because the mystery of the Trinity is revealed in a truth-filled, loving, and generous relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's the kind of relationship we need to imitate with gratitude and humility. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, we live in a time of self-promotion. No one wants to seem to acknowledge that, yeah, I don't know everything. Yeah, I'm not right all the time. Yeah, I can open my mind and receive some different information. Yeah, I'm open to your Spirit convicting me of maybe a different point of view on this or that. And even in the church, sometimes we are so closed-minded and we're not aware of your full blessing and your full creation, what we can learn from others who are different from us, who feel and think and are different. May we all have some humility in us to acknowledge that we need your Spirit to guide us, to show us the way. We're waiting for your Spirit to progressively reveal your love for all people. May you bless us with that same humility and the love and the generosity that exists between you, Father, and you, Jesus, and you, Holy Spirit. And all of this we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.